Bible is well worth the read.
Well, there's that.
Amen. All of it's awesome. It's just amazing how God uses his word at certain times. It's like the Holy Spirit just leads you to the exact right scripture or passages or chapters to read, and there's just nothing that ministers to you like when the Holy Spirit is helping you understand and enlightening you with the word of God and just encouraging you and strengthening you. There's so much power. Why? Because the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces through everything and anything that's in you or that's out there that's trying to stop you from knowing the truth. It is awesome. So we're going to be in the book of Acts. We are actually going to do part four, the series that we've been doing, which is Holy Spirit highlights from the book of Acts. So everybody knows what today is, right?
The day the Lord has made.
It is the day the Lord has made, but the world calls this day Halloween.
My answer was better.
Oh, definitely. We are definitely not supporting Halloween. But we want to know the truth about the holiday. We want to know the history about Halloween, what it's really about, which I believe most of you know, but a lot of Christians don't really know that. Mary brought in a little handout for the ladies' meeting. It's called Halloween, Harmless or Hazardous? Halloween History, the history of Halloween. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I am going to start my message with just a few bullet points here of what this little article said about Halloween. So the Lord just put in my spirit that we all know that Halloween is considered Satan's main day, his main holiday, the day when they glorify and worship Satan, and there is so many different occult activities and witchcraft and sorcery, Satanist, and so many things going on. And their main purpose that they're praying, they are praying for the destruction of families, which Kathy was talking about. That is one of Satan's main targets, is families. But they're also praying for the fall of Christians and the fall of the church, that the church would fall into sins and the church would be weakened or the church would not fulfill its purposes. It's an all-out attack during this time, but especially this day. So let me just read a little bit about it. The present day celebration of Halloween. The whole theme is one of darkness, death, fear, threats, destruction, and evil. There are witches, broomsticks, bats, owls, ghosts, skeletons, death, and monsters. We dress our children as demons, witches, ghouls, monsters, and werewolves and send them out into the streets in the dark to reenact the druids' practice of demanding food from people under the threat of trick or treats if they don't comply. The bottom line is this. Halloween has been so diluted that many parents don't even realize all the symbolism that there is in trick or treating, wearing of costumes, decorating with jack-o'-lanterns, and all the rest that goes with this evil holiday. Every one of those things, there's a symbolism, there's a satanic reason behind all of those things in the history. If you want this handout, let me know. I'll make some copies of it and give it to you. It's well worth the read. And all that everything else that goes on during this evil holiday. October 31st is the night that Satanists and occultists around the world look forward for giving most honor to Satan. This is the day when they glorify Satan like no other day. And praying to him intensely for the fall of the Church of Jesus Christ and the destruction of families. It's a night of human sacrifices. They'll sacrifice animals, but there will be human sacrifices even on this night. And who are they sacrificing them to? To Satan. It's not something that we should just kind of shrug off. We need to deal with it and battle with it. So my main thing today is we're going to shut the devil's kingdom down. We're going to shut him down today. We're going to shut their prayers, their curses, their hexes, their vexes, everything that they're trying to push on to people, and especially the people of God in this nation. We're going to shut it down today. Amen? Do you believe we can do that? Has God given us that power and authority? Today's the biggest day in the life of a Satanist. It's not an innocent children's holiday. Halloween has never been a Christian holiday. And it has no place in the life of a born-again believer in Jesus Christ. In fact, it's an abomination to God, and we should take our stand firmly against it, which is what we're going to do, and all it entails. As we look into its history, we find that its roots go deep in heathenism, paganism, Satanism, and the occult, and the modern expression of it is no better. Do not be deceived. So, we are going to look, saying all that about Halloween, we're going to look at how some Holy Spirit highlights of how the Holy Spirit took one person, Paul, and transformed a whole evil, wicked city of Ephesus, that city was full of idolatry, occultism, witchcraft, and sorcery, and how the Holy Spirit used Paul to bring revival, expose all the counterfeit power and lies of the enemy, and bring all those people, a lot of those people, to Jesus Christ, and make them bring all of their occult practices and books and burn them right in the middle of the street. And that's what I want to pray for at the end of this message, and I want to believe for that we're going to see happen. We're going to see a Holy Ghost invasion into the enemy's camp, and people are going to hear the gospel, they're going to get saved, and they're going to come forth and burn all their books. And it's going to be on CNN, ABC. The whole world's going to see it. Wouldn't that be awesome? Amen. Let's start. We're going to start in Acts chapter 6 because I have to give you the introduction to Paul. I kind of was going to cut this out, but I want to go through all of this. We want to read about Stephen. What happened to Stephen? Because that is, to me, that is an incredible Holy Spirit highlight from the book of Acts that we want to read about too. Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 15. So we've already saw what, up to now, what the Holy Spirit did for Peter and John and the apostles and those who were Jesus' disciples. They were, when Jesus was being crucified, buried, before he rose from the dead, they were in hiding, they were in fear, they were cowards. But we saw how when the Holy Spirit came, the Holy Spirit gave them the gift, the power to prophesy, the power to speak the gospel clearly, the power to do signs and wonders and miracles, and transform these men who were cowering and hiding into bold witnesses for Jesus Christ. But now we're going to see an even greater transformation. We're going to see someone who wasn't a disciple, but Paul hated the church. He was killing Christians and having them put in jail to do everything he could do to stop the name of Jesus from being spread. But God actually transforms him. And we'll share his testimony in a little bit. But right now, let's look at Stephen. Acts chapter 6, verse 1. Sometime later, as the number of disciples kept growing, there was a quarrel between the Greek-speaking Jews and the native Jews. The Greek-speaking Jews claimed that there were widows were being neglected in the daily distribution of funds and food. So the 12 apostles called a whole group of believers together and said, "It's not right for us to neglect the preaching of God's word in order to handle finances. So then, friends, choose 7 men among you who full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. And we will put them in charge of this matter. We ourselves then will give our full time to prayer and work and preaching." The whole group was pleased with the apostles' proposal. They liked the idea. So they chose these men, Stephen, And look what it says about Stephen. He's a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. And Philip, Procurus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, Nicholas, a Gentile from Antioch who had earlier been converted to Judaism. The group presented them to the apostles. The apostles prayed for them, placed their hands on them. And so the word of God continued to spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem grew larger and larger, and a great number of the priests even accepted the faith. So the Holy Spirit is still moving and doing wondrous signs and miracles. And now there was a problem in the church, a little bit of, there's always some problems in the church, but God gives them a way to straighten that out. They pick 7 deacons to serve the tables, to serve the people. But these men have to be filled with the Holy Spirit and with faith. Remember, that's what we're looking at. Highlights of the Holy Spirit. What does it look like to be filled with the Spirit? Because Word of Victory Church is Spirit-filled, Spirit-led, power-packed, prayer-saturated, rapidly growing church. We want to see, we're comparing to see, what does it look like for people? How do they act? How do they live? What are they doing if they're Spirit-filled and Spirit-led? And all of these men were filled with faith in the Holy Spirit. Stephen, listen to this, a man richly blessed by God and full of power, performed great miracles and wonders among the people. But he was opposed by some men who were members of the synagogue and of the freedmen, as it was called, which had Jews from Cyrene and Alexandria. They and other Jews from the provinces started arguing with Stephen. But listen to this, when you're Spirit-filled and Spirit-led, and remember, when you hear the Holy Spirit here, I want you to notice the main gift that these people are using. I've emphasized it over and over while we've been going through this series. The main purpose, the main reason for the Holy Spirit, the main power that the Holy Spirit gives us is to be able to prophesy, which means to speak and proclaim the things of God, especially the gospel of Jesus Christ. Stephen was so filled with the Spirit. Listen to what it says. The Spirit gave Stephen such wisdom that when he spoke, they could not refute him. When he what? Spoke. All the verses when it talks about they were filled with the Holy Spirit, next says they spoke. They spoke. The main purpose of the Holy Spirit is so we can speak the Word of God into people's lives, that people can truly know God. So they bribed some men, and we heard him speaking against Moses and against God, they said. In this way, they stirred up the people, the teachers of the law. So they seized Stephen, and they took him before the council. Now, I'm not going to read all that Stephen said, but he takes 50 verses. But again, it's the Holy Spirit speaking through him. Stephen starts giving these Jewish leaders and elders the entire history of Israel, all the way from Abraham up into the point where they are right now. I'm going to start in verse 51, and this is what Stephen's telling them. Talk about an anointing and speech and speaking forth with boldness and not fearing any man or anything. Look at what he says in verses 51 through 60. Acts 7, verse 51 through 60. Sorry. Acts 7, verse 51 through 60. He tells them, this is a modern version, how stubborn you are, Stephen went on to say. How heathen your hearts are. How deaf you are to God's message. You're just like your ancestors. You two have always resisted who? The Holy Spirit. Then he tells them, was there any prophet that your ancestors didn't persecute? They killed God's messengers, who long ago announced the coming of his righteous servant, Jesus. And now, not only did you kill the prophets, but you've betrayed and you murdered Jesus. You're the ones also who received God's law. It was handed to you by angels, and you didn't even obey it. Do you see the power of the Holy Spirit just speaking through him and working through him? As the members of the councils listened to Stephen, they became furious and ground their teeth at him in anger. Talk about hot. They were mad. Can you imagine seeing people so mad at you that they're grinding their teeth? That's pretty intense. But look at what it says. But Stephen, what? Full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw God's glory and Jesus standing at the right side of God. Look, he said, I see heaven opened and the Son of Man standing at the right side of God. With a loud cry, the council members covered their ears with their hands. Now they can't even stand to listen to what he's saying. Then all of them rushed at once, threw him out of the city, and stoned him. The witnesses left their cloaks in the care of a young man named Saul. Here's the introduction to Saul, who becomes Paul, the apostle, after his conversion. They kept on stoning Stephen as he called out to the Lord, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he knelt down and cried out in a loud voice, Lord, do not remember these sins against them. Don't hold these sins against them. He said this and died. How could he do that? Because he was full of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Verse 8, chapter 1. And Saul approved of his murder. That very day in the church in Jerusalem, there began to suffer cruel persecution. All the believers except the apostles were scattered throughout the provinces of Judea and Samaria. So what's going on here? This is the Holy Spirit orchestrating all of this. Why? Because what did Jesus tell the disciples? What was the main reason that he was going to send the Holy Spirit to them in Acts 1:8? You will receive power from on high so you can be my witnesses first in Jerusalem. We've just seen 6 chapters of them being in Jerusalem. They were getting pretty comfortable there. They probably would have never left Jerusalem had persecution not come. You'll first be my witnesses in Jerusalem, then in Judea and Samaria. The Lord's just moving his prophetic word that he told them, and he's moving his prophetic plan. By his hand, he's moving them where he wants them to go. Amen? So now we're going to Judea and Samaria. I'm going to stop there. Let's go to Acts chapter 9 now, because we want to focus. We will go back and study a little bit more about what Philip, the revival that Philip had in Samaria. Maybe next week we'll look at that, but I want to focus on Paul right now and how the Lord used him to shut down the devil's kingdom in Ephesus. But first, let's get a little more acquainted with Paul. So in the rest of Acts chapter 8, there's a great revival in Samaria. Like I said, we'll go back to that. But then in Acts chapter 9, verses 1 and 2, it tells us what Paul's doing, was doing the whole time this revival was going on. In the meantime, Saul kept up his violent threats of murder against the followers of the Lord. So while there's revival going on in Judea and Samaria, Paul's in Jerusalem still putting people in jail for being Christians. He went to the high priest and asked for letters of introduction to the synagogues in Damascus. There you go, Damascus. So that if he should find there any followers of the way of the Lord, that he'd be able to arrest them, both men and women, and bring them back to Jerusalem. So now he goes to the leaders to get authority to go to Damascus and bring other followers of Jesus back to Jerusalem. All right, so you know that the rest of Acts chapter 9 kind of tells a little bit about Paul's testimony of how the Lord knocked him off of his horse. But we're going to not read his testimony from 9. We're going to go to Acts chapter 26. Because now Paul himself is giving his testimony before King Agrippa of what the Lord, how the Lord saved him and converted him and told him what he would use him for. And the reason I'm sharing this is because it goes so well with what Paul actually did already in Acts chapter 19, which we'll go back to after this. So here's Paul's testimony, and he's talking to King Agrippa. I'm going to start in verse 10, Acts 26, verse 10. This I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints, I put them in prison, because I received that authority from the chief priest. When they were put when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. And I punished them often in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly enraged against them, I persecuted them, even to foreign cities. While thus occupied, as I journeyed to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest at midday, O king, along the road I saw a light from heaven. Here's his testimony. I love it. Brighter than the sun. It was shining all around me and shimmered all around those who journeyed with me. And when all had fallen to the ground, we were knocked to the ground. I heard a voice speaking to me saying in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It's hard for you to kick against the goads. So I said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet, for I've appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness, both of the things which you have seen and things which I'm going to reveal to you yet to come. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles, to whom I now send you. What's he sending him, Paul, to the Gentiles for? To open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified. How? By faith in me. But if you remember the story in Acts chapter 9, Paul wasn't ready to go yet. Something had to be done. You remember what happened? He was blind. And the Lord, the Holy Spirit, had to speak to Ananias to go over and pray for Paul. Because Paul wasn't endued with power from on high. Jesus, he met Jesus. Jesus told him what his mission would be and his assignment would be. That's why I kind of shared his testimony from Acts 26, because he doesn't share that in Acts chapter 9. So he has to wait for what? He had to wait for, in Acts chapter 9, verse 17, he had to wait for Ananias to come and pray for him. So in Acts 9:17, it says, Ananias went, entered the house where Saul was, placed his hands on him. He says, Brother Saul, he said, the Lord has sent me, Jesus himself, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here. He sent me, first of all, that you might see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Paul still had to be filled with the Holy Spirit to do what God had called him to do. So now we're going to see what the Holy Spirit did through Paul in Ephesus. Go to Acts chapter 19. In those first few verses, we know that Paul came and told people that had only received the baptism of John that they had to be baptized in the name of Jesus, and he laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit with the gift of tongues and prophesying. Again, what did they receive? Tongues and prophesying. Speech. To be able to speak. But in verse 8, we're going to start in verse 8. 19, verse 8. Then Paul went into the synagogue and for 3 months spoke boldly with the people, holding discussions with them and trying to convince them about the kingdom of God. But some of them were stubborn and would not believe. And before the whole group, they said evil things about the way of the Lord, which is what they called the church in those days, the way of the Lord. So Paul left those guys. I mean, he took the believers with him. And every day now he held discussions in the lecture hall of Tyrannus. So he said, look, you guys don't want to hear it. I'm going to go to a different place. So he goes to this lecture. It's called the School of Tyrannus. And look at how long Paul stayed there. Every day, every morning, he was there preaching to them and teaching them about the kingdom of God. This went on for 2 whole years he did this. So that all the people who lived in the province of Asia, both Jews and Gentiles, what? Heard the word of the Lord. And this is awesome. God was performing unusual miracles through Paul. Listen to this. Even handkerchiefs and aprons that he had used were taken to the sick, and their diseases were driven away, and evil spirits would go out of them just from touching someone's handkerchief or something, a piece of clothing that he was wearing. Pretty powerful, right? So that's the true power of the Holy Spirit. But we're going to start now in verse 14. So now you have some Jewish priests that want to do exorcisms. They see Paul doing this, so they're going to try to go out and do it on their own. And then you have the seven sons of Sceva who want to try to do it themselves. Look at what happens to them. God exposes that this is a false power, that they have no power, that their power is false. Because why? Because they don't really know Jesus, and they're not filled with the Holy Spirit. Verse 14, also there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. And look at what happened when God exposes the false power that the devil promises, the false power that the devil uses to try to counterfeit God's power. It says, this became known both to all Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus, and the fear of God fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many who had believed came confessing and telling their deeds. So here you have believers. Many who had believed came and said, you know what? I've been messing around with those tarot cards too. I've been messing around with horoscopes and all that stuff. I'm going to repent of that. I'm going to get rid of that stuff. I know I shouldn't have any of that junk in my life. That's what it says. So that's the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the power of revival. That's the power of the Holy Spirit invading the enemy's camp. Amen? But it wasn't just believers. That's a good thing. How many of you know that's a good thing when the Holy Spirit speaks to people and you have things in your life that you need to get rid of? So that's a good thing. That's part of revival too. It's not always just about the unsaved. And then look at what it says happened. Also, many of those who had practiced magic, black magic, evil, sorcery, brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. They counted up the value of them, and it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. Some people say that's about $10,000 in our time. And this is how the word of the Lord was spreading in a powerful way. And the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. I love that. Causing more and more people to believe. Isn't that powerful? That is a powerful, powerful picture. And that's what I'm believing is going to happen today in the cities around America. All these people who practice Satanism and witchcraft and sorcery and idolatry and all different types of occults are going to be set free today. We're going to pray and believe that the Holy Spirit is going to send his people like Paul into these places to preach the word of God, anointed by the power of the Holy Spirit, that people are going to be set free from Satan's camp. And they're going to come. Isn't that what did Jesus tell Paul? His mission is, and our mission is, open their eyes, turn them from the darkness, turn them from the darkness of Satan, bring them to light, turn them from the power of Satan, bring them into God's kingdom, so that they can receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. So we're going to pray. I'm going to pray, but we're going to pray a prayer of agreement, because you know, everybody knows how powerful the prayer of agreement is. So as I pray, I'm just simply asking you to be in agreement, for us to be in unity, to all be one heart, one mind, and one accord, and believe that God is going to shut the devil's kingdom down today. Going to be a lockdown, but then there's going to be a set free. People are going to be set free from there today. Amen. Thank you, Lord. releasing the power of God. Lord, we release your glorious power right now against the enemy. Let power and might be released from your hand. Scatter the enemy by your power. Rule over your enemies through your power. Let the power of your anger be released against the powers of darkness right now, we pray, especially on this day, this Halloween day, where the devil thinks that he's being worshiped and glorified, but he's not being worshiped. He's being stopped. He's being shut down right now, we declare, in the name of Jesus Christ. We declare all these people delivered from the power of Satan, and they're coming to God right now. Divide the sea, destroy marine spirits through your power. Lord, we are strong in the Lord and the power of your might. Cause the powers of darkness right now to submit to your power, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. In the enemy's camp today, where they intended to use this holiday to celebrate darkness, death, and destruction, and they wanted to instill fear in the people and highlight evil, Satanists, witches, warlocks, and occultists around the world are praying for believers and the church to fall into sins and the destructions of families, we know and we declare that greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. We declare what Jesus told us. Behold, he has given us authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt us or the people that we're praying for. No spirits of retaliation. We bind and gag and destroy those spirits of retaliation, and we cast them into the abyss forever right now. We thank you and we declare, for this purpose was the Son of God manifest, to destroy the works of the evil one. And he has destroyed your power and your work, Satan. Jesus Christ, we declare him to be Lord. So today we declare that we are strong in the Lord and in the power of his might and with the whole armor of God on us. We're taking a stand against the schemes of the devil. We're using the weapons of our warfare, which are mighty in God, to demolish strongholds. And we're praying and believing for the Holy Ghost invasion in our land, just like the one that we read about that happened in Ephesus. People are being set free. Let the fear of the Lord fall on people today, and let the name of the Lord Jesus Christ be magnified throughout our nation like never before. Not Satan. This is not Satan's day. Satan doesn't have a day. The only day that Satan has is the day when he gets cast into the lake of the fire. That's his day, and we can't wait for that to happen. So we thank you for that, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we declare that many who believe, Lord, we even pray for believers that have dabbled in occultism or witchcraft, and things that they shouldn't have, that they would confess their deeds to you today, that they would confess to you and repent of those things and get them out of their life in Jesus' name, so that the church can be strong and powerful in all that you want her to be, your bride. Also, we declare that many of those who have practiced magic, sorcery, witchcraft, Satanist, let them bring all their books and all their paraphernalia and everything they have together, and let them be burned in the sight of all. And we declare today that the word of the Lord is growing mightily and it is prevailing, causing more and more people to believe. Amen. Father, we come to you in the name above all names, the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, and we magnify the name of Jesus above all other names. We declare Jesus is Lord in our communities, regions, and nations. Thank you, Father God, for the wall of protection that surrounds your people. Jesus, you said, I have come into the world as light so that everyone who believes in me should no longer stay in darkness. Jesus, through the power of your Holy Spirit, let your light and life drive out any darkness and death. Expose Satan's lies right now, we declare. Let your truth shine forth in Jesus' name. We pray for a Holy Ghost invasion in the enemy's camp today, that self-proclaimed witches, occultists, Satanists would encounter Jesus to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God so that they can receive forgiveness of sins. Let them come into your kingdom, we pray. We pray that those who use Satan's counterfeit power would be exposed, that the fear of the Lord and the name of the Lord Jesus would be magnified. And again, we pray that many of those who are practicing witchcraft and sorcery would bring their books together, burn them in the sight of the entire world, and let it even be reported on the news, Lord. We want to see it in the news tonight, Lord. We pray for boldness right now to also to declare the truth of the gospel and for opportunities to reach non-believers ourselves. And we thank you, Father God, and praise you for your delivering power that you use in defeating all our enemies. Thank you, Father God, for the battle that has already been won for us, and we praise you for the victory that is already ours, because you always give us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Now we're going to worship you and praise you, Lord, and just declare more of your awesome power and victory. We worship you, and you alone, because you alone are worthy. In Jesus' name, amen.